Good morning, Keith. It's Saturday, 9:20. We recorded you on Wednesday after this great news on Carolina. The stock was up 39% in Australia. Your stock ended down 8% on the week. As an addendum to, you know, the video that we have here, we just thought it would be useful this Saturday morning to have a little bit of a debrief at the front end of this video.
Yeah, it was an interesting week. We were up over 30% in the U.S. Monday morning. Markets started to trade off generally with interest rate fears. Then Tesla had big news on Tuesday with regard to layoffs, and the whole EV sector traded off, and lithium stocks all traded off in sympathy, which is sort of understandable. Wednesday night, our friends at Lithium America did a big equity deal. They had a capital hole to fill in for the Thacker Pass project. They filled that, so congrats to them. But they took a lot of dilution, and I think that just raised concerns in the market about who else in the lithium business might need more money. And I think people kind of look at which companies they think might need money. So I think that hurt our stock. So at the end of the week, we ended up, as you say, down 8 or 9%, really in line with all the other lithium stocks. Albemarle was down the same, SQM about the same. Generally, everyone was down 8 or 9%. So it's a tough week for the sector. For us, it was interesting announcing, as you said, certainly the biggest news we've announced since 2020, and news we think is really important, and over time will be properly, you know, realized by the market and priced in. So we're not worried about that. We remain very optimistic about the sector. We remain very optimistic about what we're doing. On the dilution front, I think, in a difficult market like this with people developing projects, certainly there are going to be a lot of lithium companies that need to raise money. Yeah, LAC just did a big equity raise. Albemarle did the big mandatory a few weeks back, I think a couple billion dollars. We did our equity financing, the way we think about it. We were fortunate to own shares in Sayona Mining, our partner in Australia, and Atlantic Lithium, our other partner. And we monetized a lot of those shares. So I think we raised $46 million in February, March through monetizing those shares. We're very fortunate to be able to do that, to sort of raise the equity capital we need without selling our own shares. My focus every morning is minimizing dilution to Piedmont shareholders. It's my most important asset in my portfolio. So we spend a lot of time thinking about that and are very focused on it. So we've kind of done our equity offering for the time being. We're not in the market to raise more money. We're well capitalized for what we need to do. And on that point, I think a point I would make is we think of ourselves as a capital light company. I don't think it's the way the market perceives us, but it's the way I think about us. We really have three, significant projects, three or four in the near term. One is North American Lithium in Quebec. That was a brownfield asset we put into production for around $100 million with our partner at Sayona. Our share was around 25. That project was built in 10 years ago for $400 million. My guess is replacement cost today would be $600 or $700 or $800 million, looking at the feasibilities for some other projects. So we put that into production for $100 million. So that's a capital A project. Very excited about that. In Ghana, the Ewoyaa project, as you know, it's a DMS-only project, by definition, very low capital. The JV, DFS showed CapEx of, I think, $185 million. It may creep a little higher than that in this environment. That would be understandable. Still, compared to other projects of the scale, it's going to produce 350 or 60,000 tons a year of spodumene concentrate, ultra-light capital. We intend to fund our share of that project by monetizing our offtake agreement. We're entitled to half the material from Ewoyaa for life of mine. We won't have a conversion asset to take that material for the first few years at least. There are people who are interested in that material and can prepay for that to fund our, much if not all of our CapEx into the project. So again, capital light. And the Carolina is a big capital project for sure. CapEx in the DFS a few years ago was $1 billion. It'll be higher than that in this environment with the inflation we've seen in capital projects. Fundamentally, there are two really important sources of capital there that won't impact our shareholders directly. One is the U.S. Department of Energy's Loan Programs Office. If you look at what they did with Ioneer and more recently with LAC, putting in place very significant ATVM loans, they're obviously non-dilutive and at low cost. LAC got 76% of the total capital of their project. You think about that's going to really minimize dilution to our shareholders. And secondly, we're very interested in and intend to bring partners into that project and sell down our interest in the project in order to fund it on a less dilutive basis. So all in all, interesting week, a great start, a more difficult ending. I don't pay too close attention to short-term trading swings. I do think the Carolina Lithium permit news is very significant. That's our best project. That's our biggest, most significant project. It's highly strategic. And I think over time, analysts and investors will begin to really bake that into their models. Really, not many have done that yet. And the stock will react accordingly.
Rodney's here with me. We're going to ask not only about Carolina, but also update on North American Lithium. Sayona put out a comprehensive update on what's happening there. So that will be interesting. And of course, Atlantic, Catalyst Rich, we just did a interview with Neil Herbert and Amanda Parsas. So a lot going on within Piedmont. Your market cap is around $250 million. I know you compare this to some other spodumene stories like Sigma and Pilbara, you know, from a producer point of view. I sometimes compare you to American projects like Thacker Pass, which is currently $1 billion market cap, you know, Ioneer, which is $292 million market cap. And then also Lithium Argentina, is an $850 million market cap. You know, that's a joint venture, like your North American Lithium is a joint venture, you know, and that just is, you know, starting production and ramping up. You know, so when I look at these things, I continue to think, we're a shareholder, you know, been an advisor, you know, to Piedmont for a long time. So not investment advice. But we think you're substantially undervalued. So Rodney's going to ask, you know, a few questions here and I'll chime in, but just want to remind all our viewers, if you like this video, please like and subscribe to this channel. We just published our lithium ion bull. In the next lithium bull will be a summary of this video. So if you want to get that directly into your email box, please, register your email at rkequity.com. And we have a new email address, rockstockchannel@rkequity.com. A number of you have kind of comment, you know, sometimes comment on X or, on YouTube about, you know, some other companies you want us to cover or other questions. So feel free to send emails to that email address and Roddy and I will respond. So with that, welcome, Keith. Congratulations. I said in my lithium bull that, referencing Bruce Springsteen, which is how we started, born in the USA, born to run, in 2016. I said, these are better days, if not the glory days of Battery Day, when the stock traded $2 billion in one day. Congratulations. Tell us the import of this news. There are some significant quotes you had in that press release, which I thought were significant, but what does this mean and what's next on Carolina? And then Rodney will ask a few more.
Great. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. We're thrilled with the news, obviously. As you said, back in 2020, early 2021, when we were just a single asset company in Carolina, in an environment where lithium prices were probably half of what they are today, I think our market cap was $1 billion. You know, the market was attributing very significant value to this project, which we think is very strategic in a different environment. It's hard to predict what will happen in the short term with share prices, but I think as analysts and investors update their models to reflect what Carolina Lithium is and build it into their valuations on a sum of the parts basis or whatever they do, I think the market will attribute proper value to it, to the project over time. I mean, what's special about Carolina is it's really one of two spodumene projects in the United States. There's Carolina Lithium, and 20 miles down the road, there's the Kings Mountain project that Albemarle has. That's also a terrific project. I've said before, and I think it's true, I think these are the best located lithium projects in the world, full stop. I mean, the infrastructure in the area is fantastic. The weather is good. There's a built-in labor pool there. There's a lot of lithium processing talent there. We're surrounded by customers. With our project, we're very focused on monetizing some byproduct industrial minerals, quartz and feldspar in particular, which are present in a lot of pegmatites around the world, but there is not a market for them in northern Quebec or Western Australia. There's a very abundant market in the southeastern United States. And when you layer it all in, you think about the importance of transportation costs, and we're, painfully aware of that now, operating in Quebec, shipping material to China, where transport costs can be 20, 25, 30% of the price in a bad market. The economics of Carolina should be really, really compelling, and especially on an after-tax basis, which is really important. tax rates in the U.S. are low. The corporate tax rate in North Carolina is zero. There are no royalties, no government royalties on the project. We're on private land. So the economics of the project are really compelling. It's a special project. It's a good ore body in an exceptional location. And I think when analyst investors start to remodel the project, and you're right, many have told me they counted at zero. And I've said, that's okay by me. You know, we're working hard on the permitting. One day we'll have some news on that. And when we do, you might want to refresh your models. And I think that's what will happen over time. So we feel great about it. It's a great project. It's very core to our story and to our being, and we look forward to advancing it from here.
Okay, great. Keith, I'm going to dive into my questions. In addition to the permitting, you've recently with Sayona completed a strategic review at North American Lithium. And there were a few highlights I saw in that release. In addition, you know, to the conclusion that you know, the production ramp up should continue. The first thing I saw is that the recoveries are higher than expected, which has resulted in you having some daily record production volumes at the plant. And all the while in the backdrop, the grade has remained consistent, just under 5.5. And then the last point, which is the one that surprised me a little, and can talk on all of them, is you're expecting to ship 126,000 tons of spodumene concentrate in 2024, skewed to the second half. So you can just cover the strategic review and those points.
Yeah, listen, the strategic review was undertaken by both of us, Sayona and Pima, together, really in a declining lithium price environment. We hope we've bottomed and bounced off the bottom here recently, but with prices falling and the project still ramping, by definition, in a period like that, you're going to be losing money as costs are elevated during ramp up. That's just a given in any mining project anywhere. You've got all the same people, the same power, the same material, same equipment, and you're producing fewer tons. So the cost per ton is going to be high. We've been just gradually and consistently ramping up. The team on the ground is doing a fantastic job. And I think NAL, you know, it's an asset that was built in 2012 to 14, way too early, in a difficult lithium price environment where the only customers were in China. So it had a lot of debt on the project. So it failed, unsurprisingly. A few years later, CATL put it back into operation in a difficult environment with debt on the project. Never really gave it a chance. It failed, again, unsurprisingly. And I visited it in 2018, so about 6 years ago now. Now, you know, we're in a different lithium environment. It's currently not great, but it's okay for a project like this. The project has no debt on it. We've got a new team who is outstanding on the ground. And we're just completing the ramp up. So we're here in April 2024. The crushed ore storage dome, which is a big deal, will be going, is you know, part of its commissioning now, but it'll be, say, fully in effect this quarter. That'll have a meaningful impact on production volume, unit volume. So unit costs should improve. So we don't have guidance on where unit costs will get. Frankly, we're learning that as we go, but they're going to be certainly lower than past costs. And at current prices, the operation is very, should be very self-sufficient, and at higher prices should be a real cash generator. I think the purpose of the review is really to understand in a difficult market and a declining market in January, February, were there areas where we might slow down and slow spending while we bring on the dome and some other things? And we ultimately concluded, no, full speed ahead, things are going well. You know, we should keep this operation running, and that's where we are now. I feel really good about it. You think about it, this is the only meaningful spodumene producer in all of North America. There's a small Chinese controlled mine in Manitoba. The next mine to come online will be Nemaska Whabouchi later this year or early next year. That material will all be captive going into Bécancour. There's nobody else in construction on the spodumene side. There are a series of projects, some of which I think for sure are 2030s projects, not this decade projects, most of them, frankly. So NAL is really strategic, and it's really strategic to our customers. It's not only IRA qualified material, but it's North American material, which is helpful for people. And I think as the operation continues to flourish and we get toward, you know, whatever run rate capacity, you know, will be, and whatever run rate costs will be, I think it's going to be a very core strategic asset for the industry. And we're excited to be a part of it. On the shipping cadence, yeah, so recall we have an offtake agreement. So our interest in Sayona is twofold. We're a 25% owner of the joint venture. We're also the biggest customer of the joint venture. So it's a little confusing. People think about us looking at offtake as somebody producing material to sell it. In this case, we're actually both the 25% owner of the JV, but the JV currently has one customer, and that's Piedmont Lithium. And we buy 113,000 tons a year of spodumene concentrate. If in any one year there's a shipment that gets delayed, like there was in December because of winter weather and port congestion in Quebec City, we make that up the next year. So that was roughly a 13,000 ton shipment. So 113 plus 13 is 126,000. So we expect to ship 126,000 this year as Piedmont Lithium. The joint venture will ship more because it'll ship the material to us, plus it'll ship material to some other spot customers. And the timing of our shipments is really driven by our customer relationships with LG and Tesla, which have been announced in the past, and the timing of their requirements, which are back-ended in the year. So rather than taking, say, pro rata share of material early in the year and just selling it in the spot market, which the JV can do itself, they don't need our help to do that. It's better for us to be able to fulfill our contractual requirements, which in this year in particular will be back-ended. So that's what we're going to do. We have a sense of what the monthly and quarterly shipment cadence will be. We'll clarify that on our earnings call to the extent we can. These things are lumpy. As you know, you can imagine having a 13 or 14 or 15,000 ton shipment scheduled for late June that might go in July or vice versa. So with some of the shipments, it can be lumpy and it's hard to predict on a quarterly basis. It's an issue with any startup spodumene producer. I remember Pilbara and Mount Catlin, others had that issue years ago, Altura. But fundamentally, we're focused on the 126,000 for the year. And we're excited. This is a strategic asset where we're going to get to run rate production, run rate cash costs, be, we hope, cash flow positive in a pretty mediocre lithium market with huge leverage. People talk about leverage to lithium prices or whatever the commodity price is. You don't really have a leverage to prices if you're not going to produce until the 2030s. You have leverage to prices if you're producing today. So this asset's producing today. It will have leverage both up and down. And for the last 6 months, it was on the way down. And that was unfortunate and expensive. That's what the market does. I'm confident we'll see another pretty robust bull market here in the next, reasonably short to medium term. And we should be in a position to really capitalize on that.
126,000 tons. Are your agreements with Tesla and LG Chem, take or pay? Because I don't know. I thought they were supposed to kick in the beginning of this year, but, they're for a certain duration. Are they take or pay? Like, they just have to take it. And if the price is $1,200 today, spodumene, or $1,300, depending on what the auction prices are, is that kind of like the price you we could expect, if they stabilize around then? And then what should your cost be? Just, you said cash flow positive. Is there any way to like model 126,000 tons times, some margin on, $1,200 to $1,300 if prices are where they are today, and you get your cost down to, $600 or $700? And then also the joint venture has different pricing mechanism. You have a floor and a ceiling. So help us model that out.
So I'll start with your first part of your question. So in any contractual arrangement, these are strategic long-term customers, Tesla and LG Chem. So we've agreed to supply a certain amount of material over a certain period of time. And there's guidance around when the shipments might start and how much it might be per quarter or month. But at the end of the day, you do what's right for the customer, and when they need the material, you ship it, and within reason. So that's what we're doing. And those contracts will be fulfilled. They both have renewal options. They may be renewed. We'll see. It's premature for that, but those relationships are great. And fundamentally, what we like about those contracts is on average, the pricing will certainly be more stable than in the spot market. And for the material that's not going to China, the economics are better in that the shipping costs are lower and we don't suffer the VAT going into China. And pricing is, just talk about modeling. Modeling, I will acknowledge, is hard in lithium. So people talk about a $1,200 or $1,300 kind of price. And I should say our contracts with Tesla and LG both are market-based. So there's some sense I've seen in social media that they're fixed price entered into at a lower level. That's not true. So they adjust based on, price reporting EHC prices, not instantaneously, but on a lag basis. So that is what it is. So they're very much market-based. We believe lithium prices are going up. We're very happy to have our customer relationships and our contracts market-based. We'll let our investors have their own view on lithium prices, but that's our view. I think in terms of price, you need to make the right adjustments. If the price is $1,200 and you're selling 5.4% material, that's got 10% less lithium in it than 6.0% material. So you start at $1,200, you take off $120. So you're at $1,080. You've got to get the material to your customer. And depending where that is, that can be expensive. In the winter, it's more expensive shipping from Quebec. And this is something everybody in Quebec is going to deal with. We're the only ones producing, so we're the only ones dealing with it right now. But everything's going to be more expensive in Quebec in the winter. And Quebec's going to be an important part of the business in the future, so it's just something to keep in mind. So, if you see a quoted price of $1,200 or $1,300, nobody's getting that price. That's not going to be anyone's realized price because they have to deliver the material. They have to, there's nobody producing 6% material on average. Going into China, there's VAT. Those prices, generally don't always think about VAT or capture the VAT, which is 13%. So it's significant, but that's something people can do. And it's why I think when we look at prices like this and people think 12 and 1300, that's really good. It's really not that good. And it's not enough to incentivize new production. There are very few projects that would be justified to be built today. 1200 sounds high relative to historical numbers four plus years ago. But today, when you think about all-in capital costs, especially for a lot of these spodumene projects will be, they'll have significant capital. And when you look at the returns in technical studies, they assume higher prices. I think we're going to need higher prices for them to get funded and built. And frankly, to get boards of directors of those companies to authorize construction, because you're going to have to meet return thresholds. So so I think prices need to be higher to incentivize new production. And I think that'll happen over time, but we are where we are today. In terms of operating costs, you think about our contract. So our revenue, the extent we recognize revenue is just on our offtake agreement, where we're a principal. We buy the material subject to our offtake agreement. And again, that's $900 a ton, adjusted for grade, takes it down to 8, 10, or 15 a ton, adjusted for some transportation and some other things. And you've seen those costs in our last quarterlies, and they should be reasonably consistent. So long as the spodumene price is north of $900 a ton, our costs are locked in at that level. Below $900 a ton, we're market-based down to $500 a ton. The cost of production at the JV don't show up in our income statement in the same way. We don't record revenue on the JV shipments. We just record our share of the income or loss of the JV on a single line under equity accounting. But those costs, again, should be improving, I think, quarter over quarter. The three big things impacting costs in NAL have been the ramp up, it just takes time. B, the absence of crushed ore storage, which means we've taken considerable downtime in the mill. And that was just an issue when we bought the asset. We knew we needed a remedy, and we have. It's being commissioned now. And the third is they're working through some really difficult underground workings in the pit. So this North American Lithium, prior life was Quebec Lithium. They were mining underground for spodumene in the 1950s, and we're working on top of those underground workings currently. And that makes the mining slower, more expensive. There are safety issues, et cetera. You just have to be more careful. We're going to work through that over the course of the year. So mining costs should improve. So you have mining costs improving, throughput improving, and a well-oiled machine. And where costs end up, we'll be better positioned to say later in the year, but they'll be considerably lower than they have been in the past few quarters.
Okay. But basically, if I'm hearing what you're saying, the $1,200 SC6 price is kind of like $1,080 after the adjustment for grade, but you're paying for your $900 ceiling, but adjusted for grade, that's about $800 cost, regardless of what the cost of production is at the Sayona JV. You're paying $800 or so for those 126,000 tons this year. And then so between 800 and 1080, you know, then there's transport costs, there's VAT if it's going to China. That's why you're saying you should be cash flow positive, you know, but modestly so at a $1,200 SE6 price. Is that?
Yeah, right, that's your math, not mine. But generally speaking, yeah, we would at current prices on average, we would expect to be cash flow positive. We have lags in our contracts, so you know those lags are going to work through the down period of January, February. So you know we'll see how that all works out. But you know we'll provide better guidance and all that on May 9th on our earnings call.
Keith, we've had different commentary from market participants. Your thoughts on downstream market demand for spodumene concentrates? You know, price slightly lower, but are you still seeing a good demand for material? Are buyers still readily found?
Yeah, there's really two markets. There's the spot market and there's the longer term market. I'd say that the longer term demand, people looking for contract supply, that's a very frothy market. There's real, you know, people need material. You know, we've talked offline about a couple of the, you know, big players in the business who need shockingly large numbers of, you know, amount of lithium in LCE terms by 2027 or 8, big numbers. And they're looking to get their arms around supply wherever they can. That's a medium to longer term phenomenon that has not gone away. So the market's still, I'm very bullish on the market from that perspective. And I think importantly, there's a long list of projects that people talk about, and a lot of them are wonderful projects. So, you know, Carolina, for example, but the idea that they're all going to come in on the timeline the market is expecting or the promoters are promoting, it's just not going to happen that way. It never does. It never will. And a market like this is slowing everything down. It's harder for people to raise money to drill. It's harder for people to raise money to do proper engineering work on the studies. Cost of capital is far higher. So I think you're going to see supply in the medium term. You're going to see shortfalls, I'm confident. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. It's not next week or the week after, but it's the projects that people thought would come in 25 or 6 or 7 that aren't going to come in 25 or 6 or 7, while demand will continue to grow. In the immediate term, if you have a spot shipment to make, is there demand for that? Absolutely. In December, January, February, there was demand, but it was very opportunistic demand, I would say. It wasn't people pounding the table looking for material, but it was Chinese converters willing to take the material at a price. And prices fell precipitously in the spot market. And if you're a seller into the spot market, and you know everyone in the spodumene business is to some extent, but we were 100% of our material had, since almost 100% of our material so far has gone into the spot market. It's a ramp up. The customers weren't ready to take their long term material yet. That's you know changing as we speak. And because of that, so we were in a position where we were producing with high costs that we're ramping in a market where prices are declining and we're compelled to, you know, force material into a market where it really was a buyer's market. And that impacted our shipments. It impacted Sayona's shipments, which are independent of ours. And it impacted shipments for some other suppliers as well. You know, we think we're past that now. The worst of the market, you know, it doesn't mean things won't revert, but you know, the market's meaningfully stronger today than it was 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And again, selling material, getting buyers, that's easy. It's the question of whether you're in a market where the seller has more leverage and the buyer has more leverage. So I think these auctions that others have started with are really helpful. And I think it's good to have industry leaders who have a lot of material and I think have an objective of bringing more transparency to the market. One of the issues in an industrial market like lithium is we don't have the same transparency on price that you do in the copper business or the gold business, where the LME price is accurate and you can look at it every second and it trades. Here, there's just a lot of difference of opinion on what the price really is, which is unfortunate. And I think to have people like Albemarle, Mineral Resources, and Pilbara bring more transparency is helpful. And the more they do that, the better. And I think it's helpful for the market. So I think that's been good. I think we've seen is because you've got price reporting agencies who are terrific, and there are four or five of them, and they do the best they can, but they're not actually trading material, and they're just not as close as to the market as we would be, obviously, but and the trading companies are. So anyway, we're very happy that it seems the worst is behind us in the market. We're not happy with where prices are. They're satisfactory from a day-to-day perspective. They're not exciting from a new project development perspective. And that's just a reality.
And Keith, the auction model, is that something you'd ever look at?
You know, we've talked about it. There's a little bit of infrastructure you need to create to do that. So the issue we face is at Piedmont, we're going to ship 126,000 tons this year because of the holdover from last year, but it's really 113,000 tons a year, essentially all of which is spoken for by our two customers, Tesla and LG Chem. Tesla's 60,000 tons a year, LG's 50,000 tons a year. So we don't really have material to put on into an auction mechanism. The joint venture has the rest of the material to market. And it's something we're beginning to talk about is whether that's something we could do. The material has been shipped. There have been several shipments that have gone into different Chinese converters. I believe our material has now been taken in and processed successfully and happily by, I think, five different conversion plants in China, which is good. So it's tested material. You don't go through the same qualification phase you would for lithium chemicals, but it's still, it's material people know and are comfortable with. So I think an auction could be viable. It's not something I'm saying we will do, but I think it's interesting for the JV to consider. But we have a good relationship at the JV level with a couple of the trading companies who are doing a good job on our behalf. So, we may just accomplish the same outcome through that.
Then moving on, Howard briefly touched on it, is the Warrior project. It's due for ratification in Ghana shortly. Can you just please remind the listeners what steps Piedmont needs to follow and its capital funding obligations to get to its 50% ownership share, and then where that material will be shipped to once in production?
Yeah, so just to recap, so Ewoyaa, great project in Ghana. It's a mile from the Atlantic Ocean. We think it's by far the best located lithium project in Africa. And a theme with our company is we think location and infrastructure matter a lot. So I've said, I think Carolina Lithium is the best located lithium project in the world. It's 25 miles west of Charlotte, North Carolina. Incredible infrastructure. No one in the world has better infrastructure around a lithium project. North American Lithium is by far the best located lithium project in Canada, 40 miles from Val d'Or, hundreds of kilometers south of all the other bigger projects, all the other big projects up there. The Patriots, the Winsomes, the Mobilands, et cetera, the Wabuchis, James Bays, all interesting projects, but relatively speaking in the hinterlands compared to NAL. And in Ghana, we're a mile from the ocean, a mile from the national highway, 70 miles from a major port. So that's a great, it's a great location. It's a good size ore body. It's going to grow. And the material is generally amenable DMS processing. So CapEx and OpEx should be relatively attractive. So it's the kind of project that in this market could be built on with these prices, although it would be better with higher prices, obviously. So we've earned a 22.5% interest in the project, and we're earning in, and to earn the rest of our, the other 27 have to get to 50-50. We fundamentally need to fund the first $70 million of project capital and then our share of the rest. And so that's spending that we think will commence in earnest next year. We think it'll take probably 12 to 18 months in total, but to be honest, the full spending plan is being worked on. I've got a team over there now. Patrick Brindle and a few others from our team are over in Ghana this week doing, deep technical updates, government interaction, et cetera. I think there'll be, the project's in great shape. A lot of important details you work out with the government at this stage, ratification being one of them, environmental permit being another, and a lot of important details being worked out on the engineering side. I'll get feedback Monday when the team is back, but those are important conversations. We'll probably have some updated thoughts on timing for that on the May 9th earnings call as well. But great relationship with Atlantic, great project. They're building the team to execute over there. And in terms of where the material will go, we've long contemplated, as you know, I mean, part of our rationale for getting involved was to get half of the offtake. So that mine should produce 350,000 plus tons a year. So our half would be 175 or 80,000 tons of spodumene concentrate a year for life of mine, which we think will end up being 15, 20 plus years. So it's very strategic. We've envisioned bringing that material into the U.S., into our Tennessee lithium conversion project. That project is permitted, but again, that's a big project. Now is not the time to fund a project like that, given the environment we're in. So My guess is Tennessee Lithium will take longer than Ewoyaa will be to get into production. So we'll have Ewoyaa material available to sell. And we are in conversations with some parties now about that. And there may be some who might help us with our funding requirements for Ewoyaa. Based on the DFS CapEx, we have to fund about $125 million. It's possible we could raise $125 million by securing that offtake for somebody. There are parties who, as I said earlier, there's very deep strategic interest in people wrapping their arms around material. So those are conversations we're having now.
So May 9th, we're doing this call on the back of the Carolina news, but, you know, there seem to be a lot of things underway and more information will be provided in your very detailed conference calls. Hats off to you, by the way, since you started that 2 quarters ago. It is very rich in detail, but there is a question, because we did have Atlantic, on the podcast not too long ago, as to when is the timing of your funding required, right? There has to be ratification, but is it later this year? Is it next year? And when you match that to your North American Lithium, if that's break even or cash flow positive, it was always meant to be, funding Ewoyaa from the NAL cash flows. If the NAL cash flows are not there or they're just break even, you've now alluded to, you have $125 million funding need. You have 175,000 tons of offtake, as a means to prospectively finance that. Do you have any further color on the timing? Like, because you're saying next year is the funding. We all hope that lithium spodumene prices will be meaningfully higher. And if you can go back to that cash flow to fund Ewoyaa, great. But I think your stock is under pressure because, there's some fear of equity dilution. How are you going to fund Ewoyaa if you don't have the cash flows from North American Lithium?
Yeah, listen, I think our goal is to fund our Ewoyaa spending on a non-dilutive basis, full stop. That's our goal. And that is, and that's always been our goal. And I think, while we're, just let's say cash flow break even in Quebec, that's just estimate. Prices are moving all the time. To the extent prices go up, we may be cash flow positive. There may be money from there. And the spending in Ghana is not all at once. It's not like we have to write a check one day for $125 million. It's spending over time. So I think we'll have an opportunity there. I'm hopeful that through this offtake process, we're in conversations with a few parties, but I'm hopeful that we will secure very significant financing through that. If you are if you require spodumene concentrate in size from say 2026 or seven for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years, there aren't a lot of places you can secure that. Ewoyaa is one. The Atlantic folks, as you know, and they've announced this, they have a process going on now for their share of the material. And I gather it based on what they've said in the market, it looks like they may have an announcement later this quarter. That'd be great. That would be interesting for us to see what they accomplish. But I think they're hoping to raise a significant amount of money through that process to fund their share of capital. We're hopeful we could do something similarly. I don't see why we wouldn't be able to. So that's something we're going to be working on over the course of the next several, conversations are underway, but over the next several weeks and months, and I'm hopeful that'll come together.
And then, Keith, the North Carolina project, obviously a great outcome, receiving the mining permit. I'm sure you're very pleased with that. This is a key permit, but there appear to be other steps before construction can begin, things like rezoning and other final permits. Can you please elaborate and outline the likely timing of receiving those?
Yeah, I think fundamentally the big things we need to do in Carolina, you think about permitting in this industry, people always talk about, quote, the permit. There's lots of permits. I think when we took over ownership of NAL from CATL, I think there were 139 permits we had to transfer to Sayona Quebec kind of title. So there's a lot of permits. We've always thought the mine permit in Carolina was the pivotal item. That's the item that was required to enter into the rezoning process formally. So we have that permit. That's critically important news. We do need to rezone the property. It's private land that we own that's generally zoned residential or agriculture. We need to rezone it for industrial purposes. That's a process that'll take some time. We need to receive our air permit for the chemical plant. That is a process that's underway. We're several months into that. We think we get that permit this year. As a reminder, you know, we have permitted chemical plants in Tennessee. We did permit a chemical plant down at Kings Mountain, North Carolina. We never built that site. We decided it was not the ideal site. We prefer our current site in Schererville. So we're confident that'll come together. And then we need to raise the money. And fundamentally, just like Awoya, our goal in building Carolina is not, we're not interested in diluting our shareholders. So I think our goal is to spend time with, you know, the proper funding sources who will help us bring that project in line on the most sensible basis for us. And that means strategic partners, and it means, debt capital. And the debt is likely to be sourced. You know, we'll undoubtedly pursue an ATVM loan with the Department of Energy. The timeline for those loans is not short. I think most people would say it's 18 to 24 month process. We've been engaged with the DOE for years. They know the project well. Now that we have our mine permit, you know, we're in a position to launch into that diligence process more formally. It's an ideal project and fits in exactly with what the ATVM program is intended to fund, as you've seen with Thacker Pass and Rhyolite Ridge. So we're very optimistic that'll come together, but it won't come together like next weekend. It's going to take 18 plus months. So as I think about Carolina, again, we'll have more on this as we formalize our thoughts, but it's probably a couple of years. You know, this is not the best time to be seeking capital with lithium prices where they are. So, you know, this is something we'll work on over the next, 18 to 24 months and hopefully bring it all together. So the exact timeline of rezoning, we haven't decided yet. The timing on when we receive the air permit, we think later this year. The funding, we'll begin those conversations pretty quickly, both with the DOE, but also with strategic parties. You might imagine strategic parties, you know, we've run a process on Carolina before. There was meaningful interest. We've engaged with parties on Tennessee. There was dramatically more interest just given how the industry's grown and with the IRA, American projects are that much more interested. But everyone said, as much as they like Tennessee, they think they might like Carolina better because it has its own mine. So by definition, the economics of Carolina should be superior to Tennessee because it has its own spodumene supply, and it's an American spodumene supply. It's not imported. So we think strategic interest will be very significant. And what that means, we don't really know yet. I mean, we need funding. We'll need offtake partners, obviously, to have it. A debt facility with the DOE would need to have customers committing to take the material. We'd also like to bring somebody to the party who is experienced technically in the sector, ideally with experience in lithium hydroxide, but if not, with deep experience in related areas. And you can imagine some of the Korean groups in the cathode sector or battery sector who could bring that expertise, but there are a number of others. Execution risk is a real factor on the downstream side, and we want to minimize that risk to our shareholders. So we're happy to give up project economics to bring in the right partner to help with that. So there's a lot of thinking to go through here. There's a lot of permutations and combinations, and it'll take time. So our view of Carolina, people shouldn't think of Carolina as something we're going to race out and build, because it's a highly strategic project that needs to be thought through, and CapEx will be significant. So it's, as I think about it, if people model our company, they should model something like NAL from a near-term cash flow perspective, Awoya as a near-term development, and Carolina as a very significant, large, medium-term development with very significant strategic value. And Howard, you mentioned some other groups with big American projects that have meaningful strategic value and meaningfully higher market caps than ours. And Carolina is an asset that I think should be spoken about in the same breath as those. So, There's huge upside there. So that's something we'll be focused on.
Your comment that it's all about the DOE loan.
Well, what I mean by that, Howard, is that from a timing perspective, you know, when I think of a critical path, you think about how long do things take? Rezoning is probably a 6-month process plus or minus. DOE loans, 2 years plus or minus. So on the critical path, the DOE loan is a thing we got to get started on because it's going to take by far the longest. You know, we could decide to rezone this year. We could decide to rezone next year. We can't decide to wait 3 years to start the DOE process, because whenever we start it, we need to add 2 years, like 18 to 24 months of the process. So we think we need to get into that. So as I think with the timeline, we need the air permit. That's on its own track. That'll happen when it happens. We need rezoning. We need funding, you know, and with the funding, that means strategic partners, offtake, It could be a big car company. It could be a big battery company.
So Keith, just to be clear, the way you spoke there, the plan then is still to have a fully integrated operation in North Carolina, or is a spodumene concentrate only mine a possibility there?
I guess the spodumene concentrate mine only is a possibility. It's not the plan. And the plan is to build an integrated business. One of the great attributes of the project is there's nowhere else in the world where there's a lithium hydroxide plant on a mine site. You know, the combination has been one of the reasons why permitting has taken a little longer. There's complexities when you bring the two things onto one site, but we're past that now from a mine permit perspective. But the benefits are immense. You know, the idea that spodumene currently is shipped all around the world into different chemical plants, that's fine. That's the nature of the business today. In an ideal world, you could eliminate that. I mean, I'm not saying that just for environmental reasons, but just the cost benefit of eliminating it. Potentially the most significant cost line at North American Lithium in Quebec is shipping material to China versus converting it locally in Quebec. That's something kind of pivot that project, as we've talked about before. You know, there is this partially built, I would say, carbonate refinery that was built a decade or so ago. I wouldn't characterize this half built, but there's equipment there that can be utilized. The idea of building, we have this site in Carolina where we're going to have a mine and a chemical plant on one site. That's a huge strategic benefit. The only other place in the world where that is planned to happen could be at North American Lithium, which would be great. I would tell you our margins would increase dramatically at that asset from a spodumene perspective if we or someone else built out that chemical capacity. So there's very significant value to that. The strategic parties see that. And I think, the right way to build Carolina Lithium is to do it the way we've designed it. And realistically, just given the scale of the project and the technical execution involved, the best thing for us to do is identify partners who can help with that. These will be big blue chip companies who are in the business, need the material, know how to produce the material, et cetera. There are a number of them, and they're the kind of partners that I think would be ideal in the Carolina Lithium project. And similarly, some of them may be interested in downstream at North American Lithium.
Okay. Going back to this carbonate at North American Lithium, what's the process there? Some thought among Sayona shareholders that your offtake agreement, magically goes away if you pursue the carbonate plant. You sounded pretty positive in some of your commentary about the prospect of that, but what can you describe and help viewers understand what happens to the offtake agreement if you were to do carbonate and what the likelihood and time frame, and thought process is on doing the downstream carbonate plant?
Yeah, listen, I'd say 110% of everyone's focus right now is getting the concentrate plant up and running at, ramped up. And the team is doing an exceptional job. And that's really what they're spending all their time on. There's some drilling going on. There's going to be, more drill results come out of that project. The best results in its history were announced several months ago. Hopefully there'll be some more good results there. It's a big ore body. I think it'll get bigger. It might make it bigger and better. So there's some interesting stuff happening there. But fundamentally, it's been all about the concentrate plant and secondarily about thinking about strategically, what do you do with, there's a kiln next door, there's a building attached to the concentrate plant where you could, you could build a carbonate plant, you could build a hydroxide plant, you could do different things. We've done a lot of studying of them. Fundamentally, the capital requirements are significant. Neither of us are in a position to write the kind of check required to build that right now. I think we're both beginning to think about whether someone else might help do that. But as far, there's no process underway to seek that partnership right now. But I think it's something, we're beginning to talk to the folks at Sayona about. And I think, we're all interested. In terms of the offtake agreement, the offtake agreement's life of mine. What the offtake agreement fundamentally says is that the material underlying our agreement would go to a jointly owned chemical plant, if there is one. So instead of us taking our material and selling it to our current customers, we would let those customer relationships or contracts kind of run their course. But beyond that, rather than renewing those relationships with third-party customers, we would sell the material into the jointly owned chemical plant. But the offtake agreement itself would remain in place. So that's a life of mine offtake. I think there's a broad misunderstanding of how that works kind of in the market.
Okay. But yeah, fundamentally, a decision to do carbonate, you know, is a unanimous decision between yourself and Sayona to go ahead with it. And you would make your own calculation on, do the economics, you know, make sense for Piedmont?
Yeah, it's a joint decision for sure. It's a joint venture. We have 25% of the JV, but certain important decisions require a supermajority vote, essentially requires unanimity. I think we're unanimous that if we could avoid significant transport costs, and they are significant, and it's not just us, it's projects around the world. If depending on where your end customer is, you have to get material into a port, and then you have to get material on a ship to your customer. And at the end of the day, transport costs into China from Quebec or from Brazil are higher than they would be if material could be converted, say, locally. It's a big savings. You look at the studies, some of the others have published about what it costs just to get material to a port in Quebec. It's $100 plus. It's not as bad for us because we're closer to the port, but it's a significant cost. If we could avoid that by converting locally, it's in everyone's interest for sure. It just makes the spodumene operation, which is all we have right now, it makes that operation meaningfully more valuable. You know, in rough numbers, if you think about transporting material from a mine site in Quebec to a port, and then taking that material all the way to a customer in China, you're probably circa a couple hundred dollars a ton. If you're producing 200,000 tons of spodumene, that's $40 million a year spending on transport that you wouldn't have to spend if you converted locally. It's a big number. Just has a massive impact on margins. So whether we build a carbonate plant on that site or someone else builds a carbonate plant on that site or locally or a hydroxide plant for that matter, it's something I think we need to look at. And again, the focus has been appropriately on ramping up the mine. And that's been more than a full-time job. I mean, it's a big, heavy lift and the team's doing a great job. But you know, as that process is coming to an end here this year, it's time to really think about what the downstream opportunity is. And we've all known forever, I mean, Quebec has a lot of positive attributes in terms of a supportive government, really, you know, low cost, clean hydroelectricity and abundant spodumene supply. And when I say abundant, the only producer is us, but there's others coming. But building a significant downstream business in Quebec has always been strategically interesting to us, and we know to others. And NAL is the right asset to kind of, you know, build it around.
Okay, just a final question. I want you to muse a little bit. I called you up, I don't know, in 2016 when you were an investment banker, and you know, you invested in seed funding round, I think at 8 cents in WCP Resources, which had this Carolina project. You know, the stock in Australia is now like 20 cents. It's been well over a dollar, you know, and you were on the ADRs. I think when you first listed the ADRs, it was like $15, and now you're at $13. You obviously have a lot more employees. You have a bigger market cap. You have much more liquidity in the stock. It's been 7 years or so since you've, you know, how do you assess, just looking back and then looking at present and looking forward, been through ups and downs. You know, there's a lot of negative headwinds at the moment with Tesla layoffs and, you know, scale back of EVs and, you know, election kind of coming up. You know, how do you assess, you know, this current period of time relative to other, you know, periods you've been up and down through?
Well, certainly I've been ups and downs. It's been an interesting time in the sector. I think we're, you know, certainly in the U.S. market, certainly amongst the U.S. hedge funds, I think we're at a time, we've been around a time for a few months now, peak pessimism, where, you know, no one can believe prices can recover again, and nobody believes we'll have a, you know, another buoyant market. The opposite was true kind of 18 plus months ago, where prices were setting new records on the way up every day. I would open my Fast Markets email, prices were up again and again and again, and it just felt like it might go on forever. We are at a new normal. And then two or three years before that, there was deep pessimism, just like there is today. So lithium prices have been volatile. This is a young, small business that is nowhere near maturity yet. Growth is very significant. It will continue to be. It may not be quite as high as some people might have expected, but there aren't many commodities with demand growth like lithium. So demand growth will be very significant. Supply will come on in a lumpy manner. Demand growth will be more consistent. Supply will come on in a pretty lumpy manner because of, you know, in an environment like this, there'll be less supply growth in 25 and 6 because people won't fund or can't fund their projects. So I think, you know, more bull markets and bear markets are to come. I think we're in a deeply pessimistic environment right now, which I think is interesting. Prices are meaningfully higher than they were when our stock was a lot higher three or four years ago. But I think they have a lot higher to go from here. I don't know where the consensus long-term price for spodumene right now is right around 1500, probably. I don't know how I feel about that price. I think 1500 isn't enough to incentivize a lot of the larger CapEx projects to get built, to be honest with you. But I think prices could circle around there in the long term, but I think we'll see periods where they're dramatically higher. And I think the next leg here should be significantly up, not down. That's my own personal view. So we're bullish. And I think the pessimism will work itself out once people see positive headlines. So the headlines for the car companies have been negative. But I think these companies are still growing. Demand is still growing. The EV thematic is still strong and lithium demand continues to grow both in EVs and other uses. So I'm optimistic. I think now is the time from my perspective to hunker down and make the company, make sure we're operating at the right level, everywhere we can, and make sure we're smart about our capital and we protect shareholder value in an environment like this and minimize dilution, which we've been able to do. We haven't sold shares for 12 months. And we've got 19 million shares outstanding. We've been really disciplined about that. We intend to continue to be. This is the most significant investment in my portfolio. So we're going to be very protective of shareholder value kind of while we explore and position ourselves for these growth opportunities.
And on politics, and also the interest rate environment is much higher than when a few years ago, which definitely led to much more risk on behavior, right? So there's an element of derating because of high interest rates, and it's also gone into funding costs. But the politics is also something I know, who knows what's going to happen, but any thoughts on, this is just a tough year. But we don't know what'll happen in November, but do you see any difference if Trump wins versus Biden?
I don't know. Trump was very supportive of mining in the United States when he was in office. It was the American Mineral Security Act, I think it was called, back in 20, I don't even remember what year it was, 2018, 19, perhaps. It never became legislation, but the Trump administration was pushing it. So I think some of the things you might see from the current administration in terms of mandates are things that might be discouraged or go away in a Trump administration. That's okay. I think fundamentally I've been driving my electric car, my Tesla, for 5.5 years. No one needs to tell me I need to buy an electric car. It's a way better car. I think everyone will eventually figure that out. For most purposes, they're just far more efficient and fun to drive. So I'm not worried about mandates going away. I think the kind of funding opportunities, the big ones, the meaningful ones, the ATVM loans, for example, I think those will remain in place. I think a lot of the IRA provisions will remain in place, or probably all remain in place. And I think everyone in the U.S. has a similar point of view that lithium is a critical mineral, and it's a critical mineral that is currently produced largely in China. And that's just suboptimal for all kinds of reasons. So I think there's an interest in developing a domestic business for sure. A project like Carolina Lithium is just fundamental with that. It's one of there are very few projects in the U.S. that are really going to work, in my view. And the easiest ones are going to be the spodumene projects. And there are only two. There's ours and there's Albemarle. So I think those are projects that will be encouraged in any administration, and there'll be support where appropriate. So I'm totally relaxed about that. I think this malaise in the investor community, particularly in the U.S., it's not as present in Australia. I think we'll work through as reality sets in the market and as things continue to develop in a favorable way.
And final question, so I know I said that before, but I'm just reminded that Gina Reinhart is now on the tape in MP Materials, and then she bought something in Lynas. There seems to be a rare earth play there, but she's been very active in spodumene stories in Western Australia. It caught my attention that she came onto the register of a U.S. listed company with a U.S. listed asset. This is the time for well-funded people to take over choice assets at low valuations. So is there any concern about, I don't think we've seen anything on your share register, but does that worry you at all that someone just take you over too cheaply?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of interest in our businesses. There's a lot of strategic interest. We're aware of it. One of the realities in, one of the issues the Australians have is they don't have some of the takeover defense mechanisms that exist in the United States to prohibit some of the situations that happened over there with Liontown and Azure and a couple others where people accumulate big stakes and effectively can deter competition. That's harder to do in the U.S. We're conscious that there are people interested in our company. That's a good thing. It'd be bad if people weren't interested in our company. I think people will be more interested today with a permitted Carolina Lithium project. And as that project develops and advances, I think there'll be more and more interest. So sure, the last thing we want to do is sell our company in what we think is a depressed market. And that's not our plan, but we'll see. And I think the good news is when you have investors like Gina Rinehart who are so credible, I think it's interesting. I think it's great that she made a big investment into meaningful U.S. business. I don't know how often she's done that. She hasn't done that in lithium yet, to my knowledge. I think that's interesting. So, and there are others of her ilk, big, credible, smart investors who have done very well through cycles, who I think look at this opportunity as a special opportunity to put some money to work. And, the more that happens, I think the better for everyone in the businesses.
Okay, great. Thank you, Keith. The catalyst for this was obviously the big news on the Carolina mine permit, but this was a great update on the Ewoyaa and North American Lithium project as well. I think as a shareholder, obviously everyone's concerned, about equity dilution, but you sold some of your Sayona shares, you sold some of your Atlantic shares, you have offtake, at Ewoyaa. There are various mechanisms you have, at work. Theoretically, we won't get into this and you probably won't comment, but you could spin off Carolina into its own company, right? It would be compared, I think, to LAC and Ioneer, and it would be given, more than the $20 million that the market has given you, in the first 3 days, on that permitting news. But that's a question for another day. I encourage all viewers here to tune in May 9th. At your earnings call, your third earnings call, which is always very data rich, and look forward to further updates then.
Thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate it.